This is Dave Nadler with the Four Stream Podcast, where we measure science, philosophy, and faith to help make sense out of what we see happening around us. Today, we're talking about craving.
So, what was the purpose of the law? The law was given to us so that we could... Well, here's a good analogy. Let's say your life is a circle, okay? All the circles are different. We don't all get the same circle. But you get a circle, right? And you're human. So only so much can fill that circle, right? Because it's just the nature of life. If nothing else, you have 80 years or 85 years or 75 years or 51 years, whatever you have. And you have that time in your circle to expend all of the gifts of God and all the energy of God in the midst of that. And so what I see God saying here is that, okay, I'm going to give you your shot at it. I'm going to give you your opportunity, but I'm not going to just turn you loose. I'm going to explain my righteousness, because the last thing you want to do is be filling the circle with crap and with stuff that is just absolutely going to eat your lunch and eat your spiritual life. Your spiritual reward. Does that make sense? Is that an analogy? All analogies are imperfect. And so, when you look at the Ten Commandments, yeah, they're the thou shalt not. Why? Because all you have to do is look at the history before it. Did anything change after Adam and Eve sinned? No. Not once sin was fully rolling, and creation, fall, and flood, and tower, did anything change in that? No, if anything, I see God looking at the tower and going, oh boy, is there anything? Do you think he was talking about a structure? Do you think he was talking about a high rise? You know, is there anything that's too difficult for God? And that's why we are given these commandments. They aren't given to tell us what's wrong. You know what's wrong. These things are written on your heart. They're written on my heart. We struggle with it all the time. Where do we struggle with it? In our conscience, depending upon the condition of it. So when you think about that circle being filled with junk, and when I look at the culture I live in, I see this. Find acceptable gods, be devoted to self-gratification, exalt yourself because you have to be recognized. My time belongs to me. It doesn't belong to anybody else, so I can be as selfish as I stinking want to be. Compromise family purpose. Don't live out the purpose God had for your family. The ends justifies the means, which is the basis of murder. Indulge yourself. You need it and you deserve it, so go ahead and take it, right? And today we talk about living free to crave. And crave has become a word that I didn't use it that much growing up. I mean, I can remember it being in some commercials, maybe some cereal commercials when I was young. But it's become a metaphor for me and the world that I'm living. I'm living in a craving environment. And that's what coveting is. That's what that word means. It means I look at what you have and I want it so bad that it consumes me, or at least consumes part of my circle, part of my life circle. Ray very cleverly took us to Exodus 20. So we looked at the giving of the commandments. And I want to go back there anyway, because the last commandment, which, you know, have you ever thought about the order of the commandments? You know, why are they in the order? We talked about this a little bit, about the first ones are explaining what it means to honor God and then, you know, love God and then love one another. Turn over to Exodus chapter 20. I love this. Verse 13, don't murder. 14, you shall not commit adultery. 15, you shall not steal. 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. 17, more explanation, more words. You shall not covet. What? You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to his neighbor. And I know some people look at this and go, I am so grateful we don't live in an agrarian world where it's all about animals and crops and whatever. But I'll tell you, it is. It is. The produce of the land may look different than it did, but it is still forming the basis of coveting. And so that whole idea about I must have it, I mean, nobody does this overtly. I mean, you kind of see it in, I don't know, characters on TV, some politicians, whatever. That whole idea of I must have it and the cost of the impact is not relevant. And that starts eating up people's circle along with the other commandments. And pretty soon, that's all that's in there. It's just filled. It's filled with the me gods. And you and I are different than that. Written on your heart and my heart are these commandments that I can look at in my conscience anytime I want. You shall not covet. He goes through a whole list of things that I shouldn't covet, right? Does it have correlation to almost everything I can set my eyes on? Yeah. Do I have neighbors? Yeah. I'd love to have Manly's dog. I mean, it's just awesome. Yeah. Talk about self-gratification. I'm using my position to do it. Turn over to Romans 13. Just kind of one more thing to say on this, and then I want to go a little bit different direction to kind of prime the pump for. We started all of this out 10 weeks ago, 11 weeks ago, talking about our conscience. And I want to kind of wrap that up over the next day or two. And I think you'll see my point. Just think about your circle, and this will probably become clear to you. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. This is so beautiful. You know, there are places that you read in the scriptures and you go, oh my goodness, it summarizes everything. It's all there. So, those of you who are teenagers, who are thinking, what am I going to memorize next? This might be a good place to go. Owe nothing to anyone. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. Now, think about your circle. Don't owe anything to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor, who are all the commandments against? You know, when we don't keep the commandments, they're against our neighbor. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Really? Really? For this, and he quotes the law, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. There's a reason he chose those. Check it out and figure out why, because it's not all 10. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love does no wrong. Think about your circle. Think about your conscience. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. I think that's just incredibly simple and awfully tough at the same time. So that kind of leads me into musing and thinking about, okay, now what do I know about the commandments? Am I able to keep them? Apparently not, because Paul talks about that. Am I supposed to try to keep the commandments? Well, of course. They reflect the character of God and the glory of God. But the commandments were given to me not to keep me from doing what was wrong, but to open up my circle. And basically to open up my circle so it can be filled with love. That's the story. And in the message, and it doesn't really translate this like this elsewhere, but the idea is there in the words. It talks about spacious places. And I'd like to just look at a couple of these passages here, just to set the tone. Now, I realize we're shifting gears, and if you're ready to tune out, just go ahead and take a picture of it, and then you can think about it when you get home. I've seen people do that. Exodus 3:8. And again, here's the thread. It's a small thread, but it's a thread that you can find all the way through the scriptures. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, slavery, right? Weren't they in slavery? And to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land. I want to take them out of the land of Egypt, and I want to bring them to a spacious land, spacious places, to a land flowing with milk and honey. And then he goes on to talk about the area that it's going to happen in. Turn over to 2 Samuel 22. This is in the context of David recounting a psalm in the middle of 2 Samuel. It's like he didn't know where they were supposed to go, so he just like starts talking in the middle of 2 Samuel, when it should be a psalm. 2 Samuel 22:20. He also brought me forth into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me. Which is why the Ten Commandments are important in a practical way. Follow the Ten Commandments, clean hands. Ignore them, dirty hands. What does that do to the circle? How does that impact the circle of your life? Psalm 18, 19. And this is really a cool psalm. He bowed the heavens also, and he came down with thick darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub, and he flew, and he sped upon the wings of the wind. Turn over to Colossians 1, 19. That Hebrew word there talks about him bringing spacious places to us and carrying us into spacious places. Colossians 1, verse 19. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness, all of the spaciousness, all of the greatness to dwell in him. So that's where I got the circle idea. And it wasn't just from these passages, but as I was looking through, I thought, I've been invited to live in spacious places. Limitations, for sure. My circle has limitations, just like your circle has limitations. I can't do anything about that. You know, maybe if I was a different kind of a teacher and a different kind of a preacher, maybe I would recast what that looks like. But what I see is that whatever happens in my circle is going to come to an end. And I will be able to take what happened inside of my circle with me when I go to the heavenly kingdom. How does this all work? And we'll be talking about this somewhat in the months ahead, because for a little while we're going to discuss this idea of conscience a little bit more, and then also what it looks like for this to take off in the world around us. But John 16, if you turn there with me. Context. I have many more things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. That's your spaciousness. That is your broad place. That's my broad place. It doesn't belong to anybody else. They may have some things in common. But you and I both can live where this passage is talking about. Verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said he takes of mine and he will disclose it to you. So disclosure is how we live in this circle. We have the law very clearly explained to us that is a tool for us. And we have our conscience. And in that circle, we wrestle with filling it with God things. And it becomes a spacious place. Why does it become spacious? Because God takes it somewhere where humans can't go by themselves. Can you think of any other place, any other group of people that are promised that God is going to come to them and disclose himself to them and disclose himself in such a personal way that it totally transcends any religion, including Christianity? Anyway, just a thought. Bondage. Freedom, right?
And thanks for listening to this conversation about craving the things that belong to other people. You can find additional resources at fourthstream.com. We are dedicated to finding true hope.